Well, how's everybody on a foggy morning?
All foggy?
It's groggy out.
Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 13. Now we're going to get into some interesting things the Apostle Paul is going to challenge his accusers with. And so verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Christ himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. Thank you that we know that our enemy is out there. He's working in the world to try to disrupt everything that we are trying to establish in this world. Father, he tries to ruin testimonies. He tries to infiltrate churches and disrupt services and to disrupt Christian lives. Father, we thank you that you are able to overpower him. He has no power over you, and he knows that, but yet he still tries. He still attempts to do the damage that he can do. But Father, we thank you that you know exactly what we need in our lives. You show us exactly the right tools that we need. You surround us. You are our armor to take care that Satan does not work his way in here when we look to you. And you help eradicate him and his minions. Father, we thank you for the truth that we have here. We thank you for these lessons. We thank you for the examples that we have that hopefully will help us not make those same mistakes. But when we do, it helps us understand what we can do to minimize those effects. And Father, now I thank you for this, and we do ask that you would be glorified through all this. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, as we look at the issues coming up, the beginning of it is Paul's case against the Judaizers. And here he's actually going to be taking on the accusations that he now is pointing out that the Judaizers are actual false prophets. And we saw earlier how they describe false prophets, and we've seen in other lessons, if I can get my paper out here, that for instance in Titus, let's turn over there, Titus 1, and it gives us a description in his letter to Titus, verses 10 to 11, it says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaches things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound, that they may be sound in the faith." And he tells others. We're going to look at Timothy in a minute, but he's trying to show that these people are not teaching the truth, and that he's teaching the truth. And so when they accuse him, they're falsely accusing him. In fact, 2 Timothy, let's turn there real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 2 to 4 says to Timothy, the encouragement that he's telling him, this is, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. We're seeing that today with many churches. There's groupings out there that are trying to teach false doctrines or doctrines with error in them. And Satan's trying to do that throughout the world. Back in verse 3 and verse 13, or chapter 3 and verse 13 of 2 Timothy, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And in the same line, 2 Peter talks of the dangers of that. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, but there are false prophets among also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Even though covetousness shall they have, even through covetousness shall they have, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment of a long time lingering not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And in fact, Galatians tells us the sin of those false prophets. Galatians 1:8-9, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. So when false teaching, false doctrines are being spread about, it's important to call it out. I mean, 1 John 4:1 tells us to try the spirits. And then 2 John 11 says that, you know, we're not to receive them unto our homes or bid them Godspeed. So when we know that false doctrine is being taught, and we have groups walking around today, we think of the LDS, they're nice little missionary boys knocking on doors trying to get a Bible study started. We're really not to welcome them in. Challenge them on the porch. Call Brother Brian, have him come over actually, the thing is show them the scripture. Keep the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll do everything they can to work around it, but when you point them to, in that direction, oftentimes they'll walk away going, wow, maybe I ought to think about this. It's a possibility. Jehovah's Witness, the same way. They wanted to get a Bible study. They want to get their foot in the door. It's a danger. There are groups out there. The pastor was talking about last week in Beware the Snares, how subtle Satan is with things and how subtle those teachers fall in there. And, of course, he counterfeits everything he can get his hands on. He counterfeits Christianity. He will give every kind of counter, everything opposite to what's there. Christ pointed him out. We're not to succumb to that. We need to stay focused on Christ. And so, you know, it says they pass him off as apostles of Christ. They look good. Well, we could be even so bold as to say, look at the Catholic Church. Well, look at what the Pope's saying right now. Everything dealing with Christianity is wrong. Let's look at the Muslims. Oh, they're, you know, a group of peace. He does. He's completely turned his back on Christians. I'm waiting for him to come out and say, well, you know, abortion's okay. You know, he probably won't, but, you know, he's going to try that. It's amazing how Satan will manipulate things around and make them look good. We're already hearing that we're the evil people. We're narrow-minded. We're intolerant. On and on and on. And when you pin them down, say, well, show me a point. Pin them down. That's what we need to do. We need to be bold about that as a Christian. The Apostle Paul was. You know, he pointed them out. He said, Satan masterfully makes evil seem good. And he portrays, you know, excessive drinking and illicit sex as attractive and exciting. He works within the church, various seminaries and churches, and gets the people to deny the scriptures. There are churches out there that don't even open their Bible. They'll pick the latest movie and they'll discuss that. You know, maybe in line with scripture, if the latest movie's out that everybody wants to go see as an example of what not to have, or maybe how it's being applied, could be. But what he's doing, he's trying to get the church to start being weaker and weaker and weaker. The wonderful thing is I don't care how weak Satan tries to make it, God is stronger than he is. All through the ages, you look down through church history, there's always been a group that is Bible-believing, follows the scriptures. They may be few here and there, but they're willing to stand up. Many will go to, you know, they'll die for their cause. It's a challenge to us today. How many of us are willing to die for the cause? You know, if somebody were to walk through the back door and say, okay, throw all your Bibles away, otherwise we're going to shoot you. We'll say, well, hey, here's the Bible. And it's amazing how many times scripture saves somebody, literally. I've heard of war stories. Some young man was diligent to carry his New Testament or a small Bible in there and have him being shot right at that Bible. One of them, I think, stopped right at, I think it was Psalms 119, some of the verses through there, and it had a dealing with saving from death, that God's word is more powerful. And realizing that's how strong God's word is. If we are diligent to let him know. You know, there are clergymen, like I say, who deny the Bible often appear personable, trustworthy, kind, and wise. Satan can indeed transform himself into an angel of light. He can make things seem right. He's got that nice voice that might sound very, well, like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Very quiet, very subtle. Started to think about, make us think, well, maybe, you know, and it's sad. He works with men and, well, right now, well, you know, Brother Brian and Pastor presented the fallacies of Calvinism and Arminianism. You know, these two men who've worked their way in. Most people you meet when, if they might go to church, they might ask you, well, are you a Calvinist or an Arminian? And it's wonderful to look back at them and say, no, I'm a Biblicist. I believe what the Bible says. I'm not following a man's writing. I'm not going to wrap myself around that, because it's dangerous when you start following men and putting them in that kind of a pedestal. You're following error. Satan loves it, and now he's got a turmoil started, and sadly he gets people's focus off from Christ, and that's what happens in this world. So what can a Christian do to make themselves distinct from false teachers? Dress up, you know, wear a suit and tie all the time. Nice clean haircut. Brother Charles?
I put study, pray, ministers of righteousness.
There you go. Study, pray, be ministers of righteousness. Call error where it is. Any others? Lynn?
I just put simply sharing God's word, the Bible, not own opinions.
Right, sharing God's word. You know, it's okay for us if we expound a little bit on it, but when all of a sudden the opinion comes out over the scripture, then all of a sudden, you know, you start weighing things. God doesn't care what we think other than if we're following him. How we live, that's another avenue. Do we live a life that's honoring to God? You know, not so pious that, you know, we're making ourselves, you know, like, well, you know, we have funny hats on, or we dress only a certain way, we drive only a certain kind of a car, you know. Does that make you more righteous than anybody else? No. Being in a proper church building, does that make you more righteous than anybody? You know, we have some people that won't come here because we're not in a normal church building. You know, they kind of frown on, well, you're not in a regular church building. So? Probably wouldn't want to be in with the New Testament Christians either, meeting down by the river or in a tent somewhere. You know, some people are that way. So the other is, and we kind of alluded to it, refuse to compromise. That's how we make ourselves distinct from false teachers. You know, when we can show their errors, not, you know, not in a group and not starting an argument, but if something's presented false, call it that. Say, you know, well, have you looked at it this way? And maybe turn it a little bit, not making an argument, but kind of make it a seminar. That's the nice thing about sometimes seminars, where a question's asked and both sides are presented, and how you present it, all of a sudden a person might go, whoa, that's interesting. You know, I never looked at it from that standpoint. You might be right. I'm going to go check that out. And all of a sudden, now you got them to turn away from what Satan wants. So in other words, turn over to Matthew 7:15. And if somebody would, if you get there, go ahead and read it. Anybody? Who wants to read it? Lindsay?
Beware of false prophets which come to you as sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening
wolves. Right. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. And some of them, they're so blatant, they don't even care about sheep's clothing. They just come right out to you. But how many false prophets, according to this, you know, how did Jesus describe them? Well, ravening wolves, but they look like sheep. You know, I often think of, well, I raised sheep for 4-H as a kid. And we didn't have as many coyotes to have to worry about, but we did have dogs that ran loose. So we had to be kind of worried. You know, an individual, a small group is fine. But it's amazing how wolves and coyotes and predators like that will take a flock and they'll work themselves in through there and kind of they'll kind of actually herd out the weak ones or the little ones and work their way in there. And it's nice when you see a very attentive sheepdog out there that when they go to try to attack them, that looks very much like a sheep until he stands up and starts chasing them. They're like, oh, I picked on the wrong group. And that's the thing. You know, I would like to think that if somebody came in here and tried to challenge us on our word, we would be able to say, oh, no, you're wrong here. Sit down and we'll teach you the right way. And that we would be able to do that. So false prophets, you know, they'll rise up and they're going to deceive many. And they're ravening wolves. And really, they don't care. And the more hungry wolves become, the more blatant they are. And it's very interesting to see that it's sad that it comes to that, but really, the falsehoods that are coming out, they're so blatant today even. People are trying to present things out that are absolutely wrong. And when you do try to point it out to them, somebody else will tell you, no, you're just narrow-minded. You don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, so in back to 2 Corinthians, you know, so for such as our false apostles, deceitful workers. So they try to make themselves out to be what they know. They write all the really nice books. They sound good. Satan, he transformed himself. Verse 14, it says, no marvel, for Satan himself has transformed him an angel of light. And so he, at one time, he was considered the most powerful angel that God created. He kept forgetting that he's created. And he just figured, well, you know, I'm as strong as God is. I'm better than God. And there are men out here today that think they're above, you know, sin's not going to affect me. I can do whatever I want to do, and I'm not going to be caught. Well, sadly, they eventually will be. And if they're not caught here, they do have to stand before God. And God is going to completely embarrass them. He's going to make sure that whatever they are doing or did is going to be exposed in such a way that, well, they'll get to live with it for eternity in a place that's nice and warm, hotter than they anticipate. But Satan, he's wicked and prince of evil. Christ exposed the Pharisees, said that they, their father was the devil, who was a liar, he was a murderer. But as you think in with this, Satan, the angels my notes here, get them straight here, says the angels that dwell in heaven, and the idea is that Satan assumes such a form as to appear to be such an angel. In other words, he comes down, he's got his power, he can assume such an aspect that he pleases, but only what God allows him to do. Like when he was showing himself with Job. He can disassemble and appear to be, very pious. And we see that. You think, I don't know if you follow through history, if you can get your hands on it, a movie that was put out Bob Jones University years ago called Flame in the Wind. It was about the Spanish Inquisition and about Christians going through that and being exposed. And how these very pious priests, you have to recant, you have to believe the way the church does. And it exposed it. Another is, I think it was when Gorbachev was premier in Russia, a movie was made about, I think it was called The Press. Bob Jones made it. And it dealt with what was going on there, where people appeared to be very pious but turned out to be KGB agents in reality. They were your friends. They infiltrated. They worked in. And that's what happens oftentimes. That's what Satan does. His art, he's long practiced in deceitful arts. Thousands of years he's been practicing the art of delusion. He's started in the Garden of Eden, and he's been doing it ever since. He just gets us to question just a little bit. Once he does that, that becomes a danger. And that's what the Corinthians were facing. We are not to suppose that all that appears to be piety is really piety. When Satan appears that way, we have to ask sometimes, that's too good to be true. We should always be on our guard. The Apostle Paul was warning the Corinthians, this is what's happening around you. You have to watch out for it. And we're not to expect that Satan will appear to man to be as bad as he is. That's the one thing. He's going to, like people point him out, he's, a cute little guy with a little red suit, and he's got his little pitchfork, and he just looks so cute. Well, he's not. I saw a wonderful depiction of somebody that had said, Allah is really not God. He's Satan in disguise. And the way they pictured him up was this, very hideous-looking ram with a human face behind it, ram's horns, just powerful. He said, "This is what you have to be careful of. Man's religions. Man builds their religions up in such a way that they look ideal, but really they're man's beliefs." And that's why it's very sad that we have all these denominations, and you go in there and you try to find those that stick to the Bible are those that are mostly the ones that are picked on and the ones that are accused. When the Puritans came to the United States, Baptists were not allowed to preach in there. You had to pay a tax in order to preach in their town if you wanted to. And if you preached wrong, they threw you in either in jail or banned you from the town and then taxed you as you were leaving the town. Can you imagine having to pay a tax for preaching? Kind of interesting. But you look down through history, any history dealing with that, and true, Baptist is not the perfect religion. but they're more aligned with New Testament beliefs. And you find groups that do follow the New Testament beliefs are going to expose all the falsehoods. The Anglicans, the way they believed, the way different groupings out believed. When you go to the new to the Bible and open it up and say we're establishing a church based on the New Testament, most of them are going to run the other way. They go, nah, that's too strict. You don't want to be doing that. That's not good. So as he's going through identifying himself, we're seeing that the false teachers, Satan is exposing them for what they really are. And as a result, what he does with that next, Paul's foolish boasting in verse 16, he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool, but otherwise, yet as fool, receive me that I may boast myself a little. So Paul was taking what they were, the false teachers were presenting. He says, listen, you look at me. He says the circumstances essentially forced him to compare his credentials. And as he was presenting his credentials, he was exposing their falsehoods. So as he was saying, the imposters were boasting of themselves, and the Corinthians were saying, wow, they sound pretty good. It's like, wow, these guys, you know, they kind of got it all together. They sound like it's pretty good. And I guess we ought to really support them. And Paul was trying to point out to him, no, you know, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it is, but as it were foolishly, and this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. So he's trying to show them that, listen, if you follow these guys, and I had a note here about them, it was very surprising that as he presented himself, he said, don't think of me, I'm guilty of folly, but that he would vindicate himself. And verse 16 says, think of me not as a fool, but I want you to know that, listen, I'll be foolish if it will get you to focus back on the gospel. If I have to brag a little bit more about myself to get you to focus back on what I'm teaching, then I'll do that. Because they're the real foolishness. They're the real fools out there. And he was mentioning as a caution to prevent an abuse going on that they're turning from the gospel. And if you look in the Old Testament, every time God did something great for Israel, what did they do? They did something worse. Every time he presented, you know, he in the wilderness, they got hungry. He gave them food. What did they do? They complained. Oh, I'm going to have manna tomorrow? Again? God had to say, is it giving you nourishment? Okay, fine. I'll send you some quails. And they did. They ate them, and they got sick. He says, okay. Now what do you think? Oh, okay, I guess we'll go back to the manna. And when they needed water, he provided water. He took care of them all the way through there. But yet what they do? They moaned and complained. And it's a sad state of affairs. Oftentimes we as Christians, we do the same thing. Well, you know, I'm just not seeing the actions going on that I need to. Well, my prayers aren't being answered. Well, how do you know they're not being answered? You're just not noticing what God's doing. That's guilt on our part. So as he's going through there, them turning toward these other Judaizers thinking, well, maybe we're missing out on something. Paul's trying to point out and say, no, you're really not missing out. This is what the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection. Not all the law being added on to all this. And he told them several times because of that. You know, so he even is trying to show them that, you know, that which I speak not after the Lord. In other words, somebody says, well, you know, he was not speaking by the inspiration. Well, we have the inspired word of God here. It's inspired. But he may have said, listen, I'm going to present you what I know that God has given me wisdom about, and I've not had a revelation, but this is everything that presents itself here to be the truth. So in reality, it was inspired. God was guiding him and directing him. It may not have been laid out with, you know, the eloquent, you know, backed up by Old Testament scripture, but what he was presenting to them was truth. And sometimes, you know, sometimes when we get into I won't say an argument, maybe really when you a disagreement with somebody on doctrine, sometimes we have to be foolish to point something out. Maybe we need to show something that's absurd that is definitely not going to work. I can imagine Brother Brian might have had to do that a few times in testing some of his circuits out. Okay, I got to prove that this isn't going to do it by, I'm going to put some really dumb numbers in here. And boy, am I going to get some really horrible numbers out. But then again, putting those really dumb numbers may have proved, hey, the system works like it's supposed to. I put this information in, and I got this information out, and the system did what it was supposed to do. And so you can see that if you put some really bad numbers in, you're going to get some really bad information out. So this is what we need to do. We need to have the parameters. Well, that's what was happening with the Corinthians. They were wanting to grasp on to the Old Testament laws because it sounded really good. The Judaizers were making it seem this is what you have to do to make sure that you are living a right life. It's just in today's world, you have to have the right Bible. You have to be dressed just a certain way. You have to go to just the certain church. You have to make sure that you're doing exactly what that group wants you to do in order to seem like you're being pious, and only to find out that it's not exactly what God wants to be done. Yeah, you might be seeing some, oh wow, we're drawing people in left and right. But is it right to do wrong? No, it never is right to do wrong. It's always to do it right, to do what God wants. It might not be the most favored thing. It may not be the most popular thing. And that's what's happening here. And the Apostle Paul's pointing out it may not be popular what we're doing. So, seeing that many glory after the flesh, in other words, they're building up their ministries there to look good, to build who? Themselves up. And if they build themselves up and look popular, then, you know, it's the popular ones fall. I'm one of those kind of guys that like to always see the little guy win. Maybe I've seen too many, the Lone Ranger movies and the old Wild West where the hero comes in, and when he leaves, he rides off into the sunset, leaving all the folks there going, wow, who was that guy? You know, that's kind of what the Apostle Paul wanted. He wanted to make sure what he did was right to get rid of the evil stuff. In doing so, he had to brag a little bit. And we should be careful in doing that. And the Apostle Paul knew how to apply that. So, you know, when we get there, yeah, we should not think ourselves any better than what we are in Scripture. Not try to, well, I'm going to outdo that person. I'm going to show them a thing or two. That's not what the Apostle Paul, how he approached it. That's not how we should approach it. If somebody really is presenting falsehoods, we need to call it out for what it is. That's the important thing the Apostle Paul is trying to get across. Call it out. Don't let it fester. That's why I'm thankful here. Pastor thinks about things. Thinks about what's happening in the world. Presents his word about that. That's what I like about Brother Brian with their lessons on Calvinism. Because it is so prevalent. There are so many people out there that, well, when you least think about it, guess who's going to show up? Somebody's going to say, well, you know, I'm kind of moderately Calvinist. In fact, I was disappointed the other day. I was doing some study, and I read a few things. I really like Henry Morris's writings. I found out he's moderately Calvinist. So I have to be careful about some things that I look at in there. And it's very dangerous. There's some people that, I only want a little bit of that. And we as Christians, Bible-believing, New Testament teaching Christians, we need to be very careful not to let those things just kind of sit in our pocket and fester a little bit and say, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. Let's bring it in. That's danger. When you start thinking, well, you know, I think. No, what's Scripture say about it? That's what we need to do. We always need to go back and say, what does Scripture say? Not twist it out of context, like so many do. And that's what I love about Pastor. He doesn't take things out of context. And it's forced me to study better. I think it's maybe forced some of us to study a little bit better and look at things. Say, does it really mean that? Yep, it does. Or when somebody says something, you look at it and goes, well, yeah, they're pulling that one definitely out. They're reaching really hard for that. That's the danger. And if we can, we ask the Lord, give us the wisdom and strength to be able to point it out. And that's so very important. That's what's happening with the Apostle Paul, you know, with his foolish boasting. None of us are Paul's. Some of us would like to be Paul's. But I pray that when we do, that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, to expose what's not right, just like he did with the Corinthians. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. Thank you for the truth that's in your word. We thank you, Father, that you give us the wisdom to note errors when they're there, to try the spirits, as you tell us in John, to ask the right questions, but always focus on the Word. And as we go back to the Word, we know that that's the foundation that our belief is founded upon. And that, Father, that we can refute any argument based on the Word, if we keep going to the Word and not let Satan push us down and to push us back. But to always hold the Word up, that as it says, that he will flee when the Word of God is presented. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for the boldness that you give to each one of us in those opportunities when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in our studying, in our prayer time, in our visitation time, in sharing the gospel. I thank you, Father, that you go before us. You prepare those paths for us, and we can trust it and know that we're going in the right direction. For we only want to glorify you in all that we do, and we do ask it in your Son's precious name. Amen.